Chapter 2, Reincarnation and Karma. What are we doing here in this world? What is karma? Where have we come from and where are we going? How long is the journey? What is it exactly that reincarnates? Are there proofs of any of these worldviews? Here we are concerned with some of the most fundamental questions we ever ask. Many can go through their whole life without asking them. But if these questions have ever given you pause, that is the beginning of wisdom. They can be answered, says the Vedanta philosophy, at several different levels. For illumined persons who have realized the ultimate truth about themselves and broken the bonds of ignorance, only one answer will apply. I am the Atman, the Spirit, the Soul. I have no further business here, no karma. I do not go anywhere at death. Where could I go that I am not already? I am eternal and all-pervading. Never born and never dying, I am of the nature of pure being, consciousness, bliss, infinite, eternal and undivided. As Sri Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time when I was not, nor you, nor those around you. This is the final Advaitic or non-dual truth. For us who are not yet Buddha awakened, there are other provisional answers. One of the best, probably the oldest, held by people of the East, beginning with the Hindus, is commonly called reincarnation, literally putting on the flesh again. Some Buddhists prefer the word rebirth for their related doctrine. They do not speak of a soul, but of a bundle of karmas which continue and constitute the illusion of an individual. What is karma? The idea of karma is closely linked with reincarnation. Karma is our action, comprising both its effect upon others and upon us. When did it begin? With our birth, or the soul being ageless, maybe with creation itself? The soul, we are told, is eternal, not created but beginningless. Yet, just as in the dusk you can mistake a rope lying on your path for a snake, so somehow, through ignorance, our soul has identified itself as a bundle of karma, we sometimes call the body and sometimes the mind, depending on our perspective. Begin with the amoeba, if you like. Through the ages and ages of the evolution of species, our soul has erroneously superimposed upon itself these cages of microbe, mollusk, marsupial, mammal, and man. Why are we here? As human beings, we have at last a chance to throw off this sleep of ignorance. We have achieved, are achieving, full self-consciousness. It is we who can rub our eyes and discover that the rope is no snake at all, and never was. Thus we become mukta, free from rebirth and re-death. The ignorance that plagues us inheres in that substance we call the mind. While this mental material is much subtler and less tangible than our bodies, it is very much more durable. The effects of our action persist in the form of habit and character, clothing the soul when the body dies. The pattern which this takes in the next birth, that is, the next whirlpool of energy, we shall mistakenly be calling ourselves, is in conformity with our karma. The soul, say the Upanishads, is the rider in the chariot of this body. with its senses as the horses, the mind as the reins, and the intellect as the charioteer. Where are we going? Down the centuries, details have been filled in to satisfy the curiosity of the human mind by the scriptures, the sages, and artists. Some say that dying, we are not immediately reborn, but remain for a while in a heaven or a hell. The Hindu idea of these is different from the Christian. Heavens and hells are stopping places merely, or stages of consciousness, where we remain so long as our good or bad karma allows, and return to earth. In heaven we make no progress, simply experience the fruits of labors past. On the other hand, hell is not everlasting. No soul can be forever damned. Some say that men can regress and be born in lower strata. Another view is that once we have climbed to the human level, we do not regress below that. How long is the journey? So long as it takes us to wake up and discover ourselves. Time and again the chariot breaks down, the horses wear out, and still we do not wake up, but go on taking new bodies, as a person will change worn-out clothes. As one of our eminent teachers says, this earth is a very great place. It is not only for sense-bound souls. Great souls also come here until they have realized the highest. But the Hindus say that life on this earth is an absolute condition for the freedom of the soul. And this is why they believe in reincarnation. There is no other way. The very fact that the soul has come into this body shows there is a purpose in it, and unless this is an altogether cruel universe with no provision for kindness, it is but natural to think that the soul should have an opportunity to come here again and again, fulfilling its desires and awakening to its higher nature. This is what life on earth is for. What is it exactly that reincarnates? Surrounding the soul, as it were, is an invisible vestment of experience and action to be worked out, constituting the wisdom and character we have as individuals. Dying means to shuffle off the slough of the physical body given us by the genes and environment, along with the lower layers of the mind closely bound to it. Then the individual soul, jiva, accompanied by this higher mind, moves on to a higher or lower transit world, and eventually back here to earth for a new and appropriate covering, so say the sages. Are there any proofs of any of these world views? All sorts of claims are put forward. The fundamentalist will tell you that the proof of his is the Bible. It says so. And for some people, that is enough. The materialist points to the fact that no one returns to the dead body to tell us what lies beyond. Recent popular accounts of near-death or after-death experiences are still being evaluated. The Vedantist says there may never be external proof. Yogis have reported the memory of past lives by way of proof. But here it is important to remember that our own lack of memory does not prove anything. There are many periods in our childhood equally forgotten, and perhaps we might not care to recall all that we have lived through before. Proof from regression by hypnosis looks dubious at present. Although the reincarnation explanation also raises questions, probably it answers more than it raises. There are also more persons today who are finding that it makes more sense to them than other doctrinal solutions, like the hell and heaven of Judgment Day, which in the West prevailed for some centuries. Footnote: the Catholic Church's amendment, a purgatory, is evidence of the unresolved nature of this solution. The third common worldview we may call the naturalistic, that all nature is material, and if somehow it seems to us that mental, ideological, or spiritual entities have arisen which are not subject to nature's forces, this is just wishful thinking. At death, the body and all its byproducts, including the forms of energy represented by mind, ego, intelligence, and so on, will disintegrate forever, they say. You may suppose this is what most of the world believes today. Well, surface affirmations are easy to make, but it is the restless dissatisfaction deep in the hearts of so many that tells a truer story. What meaning does such a frame of thought give to our life here? We are no sooner wise than we are hustled off the stage into oblivion. Moreover, to read the modern physicists is to see how far they are moving from these older mechanical models of life and the universe. Dubious, ultimately, all the proofs must be, for let us recall our first fundamental, the true nature of the soul. When, by pursuing truth relentlessly, we shall see spirit face to face, will we need to ask proof of its coming and going? Birth and death will be fairy tales. There are other ways to look at it. So far, we have taken reincarnation pretty much at face value. But other interpretations are also possible. Suppose, for instance, we try to mesh the doctrine with the Western story of biological evolution. Taking the latter for granted, we would see the Eastern picture as the parallel of another culture to express the same basic continuity and insight. After all, if I have evolved from a lower primate, whether I did so by migration up the ladder of rebirth as an ongoing individual, or by the genetic and social inheritance of my successive species, makes little difference when it is my very identity that is in question. Who am I? Some balk at the whole idea of reincarnation, and for them it may seem a block to Eastern thought. It may help to see the essence of it as the cyclic nature of time. Each morning of our day symbolized is a new birth, a new world, and a new opportunity. Night punctuates with rest and episodes of heaven or hell, dreams. Again, the new day dawns, for it is the ego of the waking state, the conscious mind, which makes and must make further evolution. As Macbeth says, sleep, death of each day's life. From another standpoint, however, it makes a great deal of difference how we view ourselves in the journey of life. Think how it must feel to consider those you love as evolving souls with whom you may have been linked for many lives past and may be linked again. The attitude toward your children when you look on them not as products of your own creation, but as pilgrims entrusted to your care for the space of this life's childhood. Think of the effect on your ethics and on the fabric of society when you see this life, not as most of us in the West do, an opportunity to enjoy the evolutional heritage of technological comforts, but as an obligation to push forward, both individually and collectively, with the business of further evolution toward divinity, when you view all other beings as the ascending descendants of spirit. Then there is the obvious, almost self-serving satisfaction of maintaining a world ecologically sound, environmentally protected for one's re-entry. Such is the case, says Vedanta, for reincarnation. It is a stepping stone to the realization that the all are in one and one is in all. The fear of death, says Swami Vivekananda, can be conquered only when man realizes that so long as there is one life in this universe, he is living. Useful Books. How is a Man Reborn by Swami Sat Prakash Ananda. Reincarnation by Swami Abhedananda. Reincarnation, an East-West Anthology by Head and Cranston. Children Who Remember Previous Lives by Ian Stevenson, M.D. and Cases of Reincarnation Type by Ian Stevenson, M.D.